to share information with each other, even angry information, even obscenities and expressions of rage, because that's what this kind of a situation provokes. And we try to draw out of it some understanding of what really happened and of how we should proceed. What should we do next? How can people join together to defend themselves against this kind of abuse? And I'm not talking about the decision by Officer Curry to shoot Happy John. Any man can make a mistake. The question then is the police department man enough and responsible enough to acknowledge that a human life has been taken, however humble, however poor, however this may have been the life of a homeless man, a disabled man? Will they do the same kind of thorough investigation that they would do to a son of the wealthy or a daughter of the wealthy? We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I just wanted to say hear, hear to your last statement, Mr. Norris.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Yes, I will be running for senator next week. Let's hear some more, hopefully, whoops, another phone call.
Hi, Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
D-Man here.
Yes, go ahead.
Good show. Just one thing I wanted to point out, that John Dine, Happy Hippie, was not homeless. He lived in Live Oak, and I'm not sure what, it's like a retreat house or something for psychological patients. Mm-hmm. But I want to differentiate that because we got a phone call earlier today, and Reckless took that call around 4 o'clock because I'd rebroadcast the show from last night that I did, and somebody had been listening, and it was one of his care providers. And he made that specific, explicit comment that he needed to differentiate that the guy's not homeless, wasn't homeless.
Well, let's call him poor. He certainly didn't look rich to me.
Well, right, but right. We need to differentiate the difference.
Sure.
So, just for the record.
Thank you, V-Man, and thank you for your excellent reporting last night.
Well, thank you.
Keep up the good
work. I'm sorry it had to be in those circumstances, but, you know.
If anyone has a bicycle to donate to you, we hope that they will pass it your way.
Great. That'd be good.
You lost your bike in the line of duty as you were reporting on what happened, right? And getting these initial accounts that challenge the official story that Happy John is a dangerous or at least a demented kind of guy who was waving some kind of gun or it turned out a toy gun around. In fact, your witnesses indicate that was not the case.
Not at all. I've spoke to 2 different people that said that he had his hands at his side. So, I mean, I wasn't there, you know, to see it myself, but... They were there, and so I have to take their word for it, you know, for what they saw.
And for those who want to, you know, will you be at the demonstration at 8:30?
I'm going to try and make it if I don't pass out from sheer exhaustion, but I'll try and be there.
All right.
With tape recorder in hand.
Excellent.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Rob.
And that was the reporter who originally broke this story and who was excluded today from the district attorney's official press conference on it. He probably didn't miss anything because I understand that essentially nothing was said, although a few hard questions were asked from a few people. Maybe we can get a call from one of the people who was actually privy to that press conference.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, this is Matt Mike again. I just want to clear you up on something. You keep calling it Coastal Bank. It's Coast Bank, and it's right across the street from Long, before the bridge, on the corner. There's a vigil there. And I just want to remind people of other things. They think the police don't fucking have guns, extra guns, toy guns, or whatever, to throw down in circumstances like this. This shit used to always happen in Chicago until they started assassinating those assholes. That they fucking, they'll go kill somebody, and then they'll pull out their own little gun and say, well, he had a gun, they throw it down there. Now, a toy gun is easy, you know, because you can easily get it from your kid or anybody. And everybody knows, you know, what would happen to you if you even pull a toothpick out on the police. One incident happened to me in front and behind the Metro one, I think it was 1990. This woman, I got a social altercation with this woman, and next thing I know, PSI, Pacific Security Guards, are involved. And they had me cornered in the alley, and I had a twig. And the police was getting ready to blow me away for having a twig in my hand. They said, drop the weapon, drop the weapon. And I said, it's a fucking twig. It's a goddamn twig. Anybody can see a twig? It was a hollow fucking reed twig about 18 inches long. This man came in the courthouse and told the judge that I was a dangerous, sick, crazy motherfucker, that he was getting ready to blow me away for having a weapon in my hand. I said, you're goddamn right. It was a twig. He was getting ready to kill me over having a twig in my hand. These trigger-happy motherfuckers out here, they're getting nervous. You know the revolution is on, baby, and it's happening. and free radio is a part of the revolution, and
thank you, Mike.
Thank you. I mean, you're going to cut me off, huh?
I'm going to cut you off shortly because you called twice. I want to get
you. Yeah, I know. You're scared. If you're scared, raise your hand. There's no such thing as a peaceful revolution, baby. It's on, baby.
Well, more later. Thank you, Mike. Well, back to the somewhat tedious but endless interviews I had last night. Let's see if we can get some gems out of this, or maybe something edible. And you remember anything, Brown?
I just heard that they just asked him to put his hands on his head, and he wouldn't obey their orders, and they just opened fire on him. And that's it. That's what the guy who watched the whole thing said. And the guy who was telling this, he said that he had seen the guy earlier and almost hit him. He said he thought he was on something or something.
That is to say that the man who was shot.
Yeah.
So is this some indication the man who was shot was acting in a violent or irrational way?
No.
A car, you mean? Or
no, the guy that watched the whole thing.
We don't know. Do we know his name?
No. But he,
what did he look like, this man, this witness?
Had a beard, like a goatee, and he was like, probably like about 22, 23.
What was he wearing? So we're going to spin ahead a bit on this tape. My apologies for the somewhat primitive approach here. John apparently was the guy who was killed, as far as you understand.
As far as he... I don't know that he's dead. You heard he's dead.
He's dead. They called Dominican, and he's dead. At least, I mean, I haven't called Dominican, but that's what I heard from the radio that called Dominican. So.
Yeah, they're over there now. You can probably get somebody that will give you some information on it.
Thank you. Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I didn't want to be on the air. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll continue. Hang on. Chief Belcher is the police chief in Santa Cruz. And, well, there's a squad car parked here the wrong way on Soquel, as we approach Soquel on Front Street, and there's red flares that are blocking the Front Street block. We see there's a, looks like a police paddy wagon, another vehicle. There's a police line, kind of a do not cross yellow tape line. Several of the white van and a white and black van. What happened, guys? Any witnesses to this? Or?
Yeah, it was me. I seen him.
No. So, there's a Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Free Radio Santa? Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you what happened.
Secondhand, third hand?
Well, Cop just told me.
Okay, what happened?
He said some guy was waving a gun down there at the Catalyst at some people, and I guess one of the guys that worked at the Catalyst called the cops, and kid got in the car with him, drove down here, seen the guy, pointed him out, cops jumped out, looked like he was grabbing something, and they fucking popped him twice. Found out he had a gun in his...
Do we know the name of the victim?
No, some homeless guy.
Well, that's interesting. Police story, because other people claim he was doing nothing, and I
Happy
actually
Jack
heard
Jack. Happy,
Happy John, yeah.
Happy John.
No gun. I know the guy. It's bullshit.
Really?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Not Happy John.
Maybe he wasn't Happy John. Maybe he was...
Maybe not.
Maybe he was... Vinny or something.
Do you know the name of the police officer who suggested the story?
No.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
They're moving the car right now. They're looking...
So, on the scene we have, looks like Lieutenant Habey on the scene, and we've got video photographer Becky Johnson, and we've got a couple of other news media people here, several squad cars in the area, Channel 46 News, and Sergeant Vogel on the scene. You didn't shoot this guy, did you, Sergeant?
I have no comment, Mr. Norse.
Uh-huh. Well,
hi,
it wasn't Officer Over, I hope.
I just spoke to Sergeant Joe Habey, and I asked him, I said, was Happy Hippie John, was he found with a gun when he was killed? And he said, yes, he was.
Oh,
so
really?
That confirms both that who was shot and killed by police here today, right in front of Coast Commercial Bank. And their claim, at least of the police at this point in time, that Happy Hippie John was carrying a gun at the time that he was killed.
Interesting theory. I've known this man for a year and a half, Never known him to carry a weapon. Of course, I've never patted him down. He's a sort of been an innocuous fellow. Never seen him really angry at anyone. He's got a speech impediment. He's kind of a friendly guy. Although I understand in this instance, apparently, if this is Happy John, there was a certain hostility involved. Looks like the comment that there was hostility involved I made because of the earlier reports I heard. I've actually never seen Happy John extremely hostile in any way, although, you know, these are all after-the-fact analyses, and he's not a close friend. I don't live with him. Let's continue with this. What happened? We'll have to talk to more witnesses to see what's going on.
He told me that he was found with a gun at the time, although that's a...
That's the story the police are giving out.
That's a really, really... I don't believe it myself. It doesn't feel right to me.
Right.
Can I come in, please?
So which officer planted the gun, guys? Well, there's a number of people watching the situation. Again, video photographers are taking pictures of the place where the man was shot here in front of Coast Federal Bank. The story being given out is that Happy had a gun. That's a very convenient story. I know the guy. Not likely to have a gun. But you never can tell. Black object circle to the other side of this bench.
Yeah, go around the other side and see.
Okay, I'll go take a look. The police killed a man, two shots to the chest after he mouthed off at them, and I guess they thought he was drawing a weapon. They claim he had a gun. Fact remains, I have no idea. Again, that was one of the early stories.
I don't think he's dangerous.
Later stories say he said nothing, and he was killed before he even got a chance to say a word. Who knows what the truth was.
How long ago?
7 o'clock. To the other side, past the flares, to see the object supposedly circled, which police are concerned about. There are a series of exhibits marked for the police photographer and numbered by the police, which were present behind the yellow taped off area where police were investigating the crime scene. Can't really speak with any expertise about it, but there was a report that an employee of McWhorter's, the store across the street, heard the shots, saw a police officer kicking something on the ground. Not sure what that would mean.
We're wondering what the one is. It's right next to the bench.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
It's David again. I doing a little more investigation. I called the Catalyst.
This is David Silva, ace reporter.
I guess I happen to be one. The news story on TV said that the Catalyst called the police because of a madman waving a gun and so forth. I called the Catalyst. I talked to the manager of the Catalyst just now. He says the police came in there and shoved people around. The Catalyst did not call the police. The Catalyst is thinking of suing. The police actually were just coming in there and bullying people around. And the television news story actually had footage of that. Police going into the Catalyst saying that the Catalyst called for help. And the guy says, absolutely not. We had nothing to do with it. As far as we're concerned, the police busted in here and bullied people around.
Wow.
So they were ready on a mad binge. From what the Catalyst is saying, and they're facing a lawsuit.
Wow.
Okie doke.
Thank you, David Silva. Sure. Keep us advised.
Okie doke. Bye.
Bye bye. Wow. Up to date and up to the minute reports. Continuing with some old footage from yesterday. The near a trash can near a bench in front of Coast Federal Bank. Police headlights are on that area and on the tree. And again, police officers are still standing about in this kind of barricaded area, which has been ribboned off with yellow Do Not Cross tape. And you've been watching this for what? Just arrived, right?
Yeah, about an hour.
Has there been a consistent story from the police officers about them finding a guy with a gun or not?
We haven't heard anything so far. They're over there doing the press conference right now.
Uh-huh. So they have made no comments to you?
No.
Because we've talked to individual bystanders who said one man said he spoke to a police officer who claimed that it had been a guy with a gun, who I know, as I mentioned to you before, Happy John, who who knows? Maybe he has a completely different life. But the life I've known him, and I've never seen him carry a weapon. He's always been very kind of a ding-dong more than anything else. Very friendly, very kind of leftover, burnout, hippie-type guy. So have you heard anybody ask the cops questions and heard any responses at all?
There are no comment until they have the press conference, and that's what's happening at 10 to 10 right now. So happening right now, just about.
Would you be getting it on your radio?
We will hear it. Hopefully, we've got a crew over there, so hopefully they'll...
And you'll be able to hear it here.
That's the live track.
Cool. What's your name?
I'd rather not get it.
Okay, we have an anonymous news person here. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Is a sheet of cardboard protecting piece of evidence number 5 from the rain?
For a while, there was, until they got pictures of it.
So it was raining here?
It was just starting to drizzle, and so they kind of...
This was about an hour ago when you were...
Yeah. About half an hour ago, and until they took the pictures, they were just protecting it from the rain until the drizzling stopped.
It looks like an officer is picking up some of these pieces of evidence now, or perhaps maybe labeling more of them. Not quite clear what he's doing. Sheriff's Department, actually. He's got a black coat that says Sheriff on it. Like the sheriff is opening a plastic bag, standing near the bench, and picking up the piece of property that is standing near the bench. See if you can get that. Can you see what that is, Becky, that you just put in the bag? Did you notice that? Becky's got a video camera.
Can't see what's in the bag.
Right. The evidence is being gathered by a man with gloves, and this is the piece of evidence that the other news person suggests might be significant. Sergeant from the Sheriff's Department is collecting evidence, looks like, or possibly photography from the Santa Cruz Police Department. You see, our reporter is about to give her TV update. And you're surely going to hear one of the live news reports from that crime scene. I'm falling asleep. I was listening to my own tape, so I'm going to probably move on to something.
We're in downtown Santa Cruz on Front Street in SoCal. The shooting happened just a few hours ago. Officers are still here on the scene investigating. We have not confirmed anything with the police yet, but a man who says he witnessed the whole incident told KCBA that he saw a man in his late 20s chasing some kids on skateboards. And if we could go to the video right now and check that out. Apparently, those kids got worried, so they approached some cops and reported the incident. The witness says that he saw something in the man's hand, and the witness said that he went to the officers and told them he was worried that whatever was in that man's hand, it was very dangerous. So the officers went towards the man, and they told him to freeze and not to move at all, but apparently the witness says the man was fidgeting with whatever was in his hand, and then he whipped it out, and the police fired shots. We don't know how many shots were fired. In fact, we don't even know how many police officers fired shots. And another witness told us that he did not follow what the cops were telling him to do, and that was to freeze. Where was the video? Do we have video of the gun?
Go to heaven, I guess, is the answer to that one.
I need to know right now. I need to know right now.
Do we have video of the gun?
I need to know if we have video of the gun.
After this.
And then I want the video. I want video of the victim after that.
It's the reporter ordering around her staff. The television reporter. We're going to try to spin ahead to give you the actual interview with a witness from New Leaf. I believe that some of you already heard this interview through Vinny, the V-man who had the same witness on the phone. Let's see if we...
On the air. And that was with David.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Did you tell Sherry what you heard on Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we came down because we heard a report from Vinny who does a show from 9 to 10 on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
There's no need to put me on the air.
Okay.
Sorry.
Here, we have tapes of his interviews with them. These witnesses, according to Vinny, said that he had just finished urinating. And was standing by the wall. He refused to respond to police orders, and police apparently without provocation. These were the two witnesses he interviewed, and they said this themselves. And they seemed like they saw it, because that's what they said. Shot him point blank. Uh-huh. And they were outraged and just baffled at what had happened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know what happened, but who knows? Maybe they thought they were pursuing somebody else. This guy, Happy John, is not an armed guy, as far as I know. I've known him for a year and a half.
Sure, if you want to get in touch with them in the phone book under
Becky Johnson?
Becky Johnson, the only Becky Johnson listed in Santa Cruz.
If you run into any of those witnesses and they're in the area, could you send them in my direction?
Give me your phone number.
God, how can you get a hold of me right now?
And what'd you see, Ilani?
I was up on the roof of New Leaf on my break.
And what did you notice? And this is the missing interview. This is with Ilani, a woman who works at New Leaf Market and was on the roof of New Leaf Market before the shooting and after the shooting and during the shooting, and you get to hear her perspective on what happened. Now, admittedly, New Leaf Market is not within kissing distance of the incident, but she claims to have had a clear view of what went on, even though it was dark by that time. Judge for yourselves what you think went on based on what she's saying.
I was just watching some guy skate over here, just because, I don't know, he was just skating, and I was just watching him.
Can you send Vince over here with the camera?
All of a sudden.
There was some guy, just wandering around here.
Right.
And then a cop car just rolled up, and three cops got out, and I heard, three gunshots, and I thought that, I almost fell off the roof, because I thought it was, some people over here just
shooting. Did you see the man act in a threatening way toward the police?
He was just standing there.
Did
he was totally just standing there. I mean, maybe he had a gun or something, did he?
Did he?
You know if he had a gun?
The police claim he had a gun.
No, I just saw it on the news, dude. They, did a zoom in.
Well, they may have done a zoom in, but the question is whether they came later, see.
I didn't see him have a gun or anything. I just saw him standing there, walking around. And then
you're
just standing there. You're just standing there. You know, I was up on the roof, right there, so I don't...
Were there kids on skateboards in the area?
There's one.
You're on the roof of Newley?
Yeah.
And what...
Right there, right next to where the sign is. See where the New Leaf sign is? Right there.
And what exactly happened before this?
I was watching for about 10 minutes before. And I was just watching for about 10 minutes before, and there was just a guy skating, and some other, I guess he was some homeless guy or something.
Right.
I don't know. Just wandering around.
Was he shouting? Was he acting erratically? No.
Totally acting normal, just walking. I figured he was a friend of the guy skating because he was just kind of standing there watching him and just
he was
not doing anything. Yeah, he wasn't really doing anything.
And then the three cops got out of the
cop
car.
This is exactly where it stopped, right? Yeah, because the car pulled up right here. Three cops got out, and I wasn't really watching because I was just whatever, just some guy.
And then the next thing you know is were the three shots.
Yeah, next thing is three gunshots.
What did
the guys
do immediately afterward? Did you notice what they did right after the shots?
I ducked. I was just fuck. I thought I don't know. I thought that it was some people over here shooting each other or something.
And how many shots were issued?
Three.
Three shots.
Yeah, I heard three shots.
And
it was boom, boom, boom.
And do you know when you next looked, what did you see?
The guy just laying there with blood everywhere, and the cops were just kind of huddled around him and shouting at people. One of the cops kept going up, was standing over there telling people to get out of the way and get off the street.
Did you see them attempt to render emergency medical treatment to him?
I don't think so.
How long did you watch after that period of time?
I watched up on the roof. I watched for about 5 more minutes, and then I came down. I ran down the stairs and came and stood right there and watched by the time the ambulance were here and stuff.
So
I didn't, maybe they did, but I wasn't...
You didn't see any police
officers. I was all the way over there, so I couldn't see, but looked like they were just kind of huddled around him, just kind of watching him.
Just watching
him. Yeah, I didn't see him try to do any...
Did you, sorry, go ahead. What's your full name?
Ilani Leah Balawager.
How do you spell the last?
Balawager.
Do you have a phone number you can be reached at?
Yeah. 426.
426?
3008.
Okay, and you're a worker at New Leaf?
Yeah.
Anybody with you who also witnessed this?
No, I was up on the roof by myself, and then when I came down, I watched it happen, and then when I came down, two other people that I worked with came with me just afterwards.
Now, in the conversations that ensued after this happened, was there any discussion of what had happened? Did people indicate, oh, this guy pulled a gun? Did
anybody
say that?
The only thing I heard was from people saying, was from people saying, oh my God, they just shot some guy, just like, he was doing nothing. I didn't see him do anything. I mean, he didn't lunge towards the cops.
Nobody saw a gun.
I didn't see anything. He was just standing there. Like, when the cops pulled out, he was just like, just stood there, and like, they shot him.
Did anybody in the conversations you heard afterward indicate that he'd pulled a gun?
No. I mean, I heard people saying, oh, I guess he must have had a gun because the cops shot him.
But nobody said that they saw a gun.
Saw one. No.
Were you actually privy to conversations of people who had seen the event up close?
Yeah, one of my friends saw it. He was standing in front of whatever that bar, he was standing in front of Front Street Pub, actually.
And what was his name?
Isaac.
And do you know how we can be reached by phone, or we can contact you and hopefully get a hold of him at some point?
What?
Hopefully we can talk to him at some point, if he's interested.
She's moving to Tahoe tomorrow, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he said he just saw the same
what
thing.
What did he say about it? Did he see a weapon?
No, he said the same thing as me.
Which was?
That he just saw some guy standing there and the cop pulled up and gunshots and the guy was on the floor.
Were people upset at what the police had done?
I don't think people really knew what happened, so.
Was there a sense that the police acted in self-defense or that they acted in a strange way, precipitously?
I don't know. I didn't really talk to anybody else that was that was out here.
Did you recognize anybody else here who might have been a witness other than Isaac?
Mm-mm. No.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Anything else you want to add that might be of help to folks trying to fathom what happened here?
No, I was actually, that's why I came over here. I wanted to find out what actually did happen. What do the cops say that happened?
They say that he had a gun and that...
Did he do anything? Why'd they pull up on him?
They claimed that he had...
Okay, you're going to go to the car? Yeah.
They claimed that he had... Guy here, as far as you say. Had he been here for a period of time?
I was up on the roof for about 10 minutes. He was here the whole time, just watching this guy skate.
He was here the whole time?
For like 10 minutes.
Watching the guy skate?
Yeah.
It's a crucial bit of evidence because they claim that he just arrived after having flipped a catalyst.
Not that second, no. He was up there for at least five or 10 minutes. I'd say probably 10 because I went on my break and I went straight up there on the roof and was up there for like 10 minutes and then I came down here for the last 5 minutes. So.
Crucial evidence. I hope that you get interviewed by somebody who gives a damn because the media is giving out the story that it was completely self-defense on the part of the police. Was it your sense that this man was armed and dangerous by watching him?
No, not all. I was watching some guy skate right here, and this guy was standing right there where like that white thing is on the ground, like right over near the bench, and he was just standing there. He was, like, the farthest he walked this way was, like, about right here. And then he walked maybe to the end of the block, maybe, like, pacing a little bit. But I thought he was, like, watching this guy. Maybe he was friends with him because I figured he was going to, like, start skating any second just because he was hanging out around here a lot with this other guy who was skating.
So it looked to you like he was innocuous and had no weapon as far as you could see?
No, he definitely, like, he had one. He wasn't, like, waving around. He didn't say anything. He was acting totally calm, and when the cops shot him, he was just standing there. Like, if he had a weapon, it was like this, because, I mean, I was watching, he didn't put his arms up or anything. Like, if he had one, it was like this.
Well,
you
talk to the TV room.
What?
Talk to Channel 3 News 46 about this. We're talking to Phil Free, Free Radio Santa Cruz reporter and musician. You say there are a lot of different stories that have come out around this.
Well, there are a lot of different stories regarding which cops were involved. Some kids say it was a CNET cop, somebody in a brown vest. One person said it was over. I don't think it was over because he was seen after the shots were fired.
So there are, of course, as we went into this 24 hours ago, there were a variety of stories as we tried to piece together who was shot, who did the shooting, and what the accuracy of the police report was. And it became increasingly clear to me that the police were giving out a cover story. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi. On the air?
You are on the air, right?
Oh. Well, since you're interviewing me, I figured it'd be a good time to call and throw this 2 cents.
This must be Phil Free, the world-famous reporter and cop watcher.
Exactly, but I think that maybe all of us should just turn in our press passes, because apparently we are bad reporters, and the mainstream press must be good reporters, because out of all the 23 million interviews I have heard and talked to myself, the reporter that you had on your tape there was the only person to find the one person that saw this guy fidget with anything, or that had anything in his hand, and it saw him reach for something. Of course, this is a mythical person that nobody else can seem to find, except for that reporter. It's just amazing how good they are at their jobs.
Indeed.
Apparently, their job is whitewashing at this particular time.
Oh, that was the opinion, not just of you and I think of me, but of other people I spoke with on the street today. It seems, first of all, since we know the man killed, unlikely that anything violent or threatening would really come out of him, although it's possible. But it seems, what seems so strange, and of course I'm getting contradictory reports, is why would he be shot so quickly? I guess the only possible explanation is that they really did fear he had a weapon and they responded inappropriately.
Well, you know, a cop can always say he was in fear, and you can never disprove that. And, you know, if a cop can truthfully say that he's in fear, that's all he needs to have justifiable homicide. There's a lot of other things. We may think that you need to pull a gun on a cop, and you may need to actually threaten a cop's life, but really a cop just has to make somebody believe that he was in fear for his life, and that's all it takes.
Right. Well, the question, though, is what other explanation do we have? I mean, we don't think that this guy was regarded as some kind of a menace to the police force, that there was some premeditation where they plotted to kill him.
No, I know Officer Carey. I've spoken to him quite extensively. I find a hard time believing that. You know, it's a hard time believing all of this, you know.
Officer Carey is the man who shot and killed Happy John.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't believe... My impression wouldn't be that it was like malice or anything like that. I think somebody screwed up. You know, having a gun in your hand is a very important thing that needs to be really carefully considered. It's a big responsibility. But when somebody takes that responsibility and they screw up, they need to, at the very least, just admit their mistake and make some amends for it. You know, I would like to see the police department come out and apologize at the very least for this, rather than doing a quick whitewash and saying that what they did was right and what they did was okay. You know, we've got a man dead, and he didn't have the capability to produce death on the cop. He did not have a gun, whether it was a toy gun or not. It was a mistake, and they should admit their mistake and make amends.
Is that all we want out of this incident, or
that's not all I want. But I think at the very least, you know, my impression would be that the guy screwed up. I can't imagine why he would want to shoot Happy. I can't imagine, you know, anybody he'd make that mad. But, you know, when you screw up, you can't act like you did the right thing and, you know, let everybody else go out and lie for you. You got to admit it. Hopefully Officer Carey's a bigger man than that.
Well, certainly Officer Belcher, or sorry, I should say Police Chief Belcher, is not taking any responsibility for this.
He's a big man, but not that way.
Yeah.
All right, I will listen to your show now.
Thank you. So you're listening, of course, to 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Usually you get a varied selection from me from different cities. I'm going to try to actually throw in a brief interview that I've been putting off week after week. But today we've had particular focus on the killing of Happy John, a sweet, kind of affectionate hippie from downtown who was killed, two shots to the chest and abdomen by Officer Carey last night. And this killing has been quickly stamped justifiable homicide. There's going to be a protest memorial within the hour at 8:30 at the site where Happy was killed. And we're kind of trying to puzzle this out together. Phone number for calling is 423-5361. Other things are happening around Santa Cruz. You may remember an interview with Flower Top, also known as Leith Austin, who got a ticket for picking flowers at City Hall. Let's take this phone call, though.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. Theodora here.
Hi, Theodora.
Yeah. I haven't heard all of the conversation on your show tonight, but my concern is how do we activate the community to keep this issue alive and well and not let it go down as justifiable? Because that's the only thing that's really going to make them stop and deal with the investigation in any credible way, if there's a public response. And certainly tonight is a beginning, but I'd like to encourage conversation around other ways of responding too, whether it's making sure we all show up Tuesday at the if there is a meeting at the City Council on Tuesday, that we show up. What are other, how do we connect with one another to keep the issue before the public?
That's a very good question. I can throw a few things out there, though I don't really have any one answer to that. The Citizens Police Review Board is, of course, a very crippled and innocuous kind of bird. I know that some sex workers came before that board seeking a policy statement against harassment, and they were told, oh, that's not within our purview. That was about 2 months ago, and whenever I've gone before the board, actually, they give me a polite attention and an opportunity to sound off, and then they promptly ignore what I've said. But I think that if people came in numbers,
right,
with concerns articulately and even angrily, or if you want to be less angry about it, that's fine too, and put those concerns to the board, you don't have to wait for a public meeting. We can make our own public meeting at any time, but you can also, this board is open from 9 to 1 Monday through Thursday. Of course, tomorrow is Friday, and it'll be closed through the weekend.
When is their next meeting?
They meet every second Monday of the month, and so that means they're not going to be meeting for another month. They met last Monday, and actually I was going to do my show on their meeting because it was a rather interesting meeting, but I'm going to hopefully cover that on Sunday when I have my 11 to 1:30 show. So going to the police review board is one possibility, and I should.
Their next meeting will not be in November.
It won't be until December. But again, they will meet to consider complaints as they are filed. So if you go in there Monday morning and file a complaint about this issue, and I would like to remind you, you do not have to be an injured party. You can be a concerned person. You can file a complaint against Officer Carey or against Chief Belcher. It doesn't have to be for being a horrible monster of a person. Not to say that any person can make a mistake, particularly a police officer. But it's a much greater mistake when that mistake becomes the basis of a cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be. I was suggesting on the air, Theodora, that the two witnesses, one of whom called in, go to the police review board and demand a public hearing on Officer Carey's killing of Happy John. And that would provide a real forum. The police review board has never had a public hearing on any of its complaints.
Well, it would certainly help if that person was supported by other people when he
Definitely.
Or she walked in. And that's how do we, coordinate that so that people know that they're not, that there's a time and a place and our numbers will swell because we've let each other know we'll be there.
Well, I think that's a very good question. I think that possibly tonight at this 8:30 demonstration, at Front Street and Soquel, where people are going to gather in memory of Happy John. I think that this individual who called earlier, the witness, what is his name? I have it here, Larry Raddick. I hope I didn't mispronounce it. He'll be coming. I haven't been able to contact the woman who you, I do have her phone number. I'll give her a call and tell her that we're going to be meeting there. I don't know if she'll be.
So you'll be there too.
And of course I'll be there.
Okay. Well, I just want to see the thought for folks who aren't there to, I would think, is there a meeting on Tuesday?
There is no city council meeting until November 25th when the question of Celia Scott's mayorship comes up. So there is a void in that respect. There will be other public meetings.
I just want to encourage, anybody who's listening to, definitely stay tuned and make sure, if we all made a point of calling the city council and calling the
that's a good idea.
The city police chief and, tying up the phone lines at least to let them know how we feel about this and to stay tuned. Very likely, it would make sense to go to the city council at their next meeting. It would make sense to go to the police review board at its next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Those are public times that people can find out.
I agree.
I know I will put that in my schedule and be there because this is the tip of the iceberg, and I don't want it to go any deeper.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really a good suggestion. I should point out that those who want to contact the city council can do so 24 hours a day by calling 429-3550. So if you want to just make a phone call from your home and leave a message on the line saying you're really concerned about this and you want to call back immediately or within 24 hours about this issue. What is the city council going to do about it? The police review board hasn't done squat and isn't likely to do squat, or, you know, you're concerned about what appears to be an ongoing cover-up by the highest police official in town, I think that may get something going.
And the DA as well. Art Danner's already making pronouncements on the issue and looking for feedback. And, you know, I think it's okay for folks to, you know, call in to all those, you know, all those points of power and tie up the phone lines. You know, I don't call tonight and leave a message. Call tomorrow when they're open for business and tie up the phone line.
And keep calling. Until you get
to talk to somebody, because ultimately that's all they understand is, you know, we make it inconvenient for them, then they start to pay attention. And even those of the best intention, you know, need to be, you know, reminded. So I just really hope this community takes this opportunity to do the right thing.
I think that's an excellent idea, and I hope somebody puts out perhaps a flyer with different numbers and for people to call, places to go. And I think you really bring up a very good point. I suggest, you know, that you can call during off hours, because we got people's attention at the moment, and somebody might just pick up a phone now and make a phone call. I think that's good, but I think even better is your suggestion that it be done during the business day, and people have to listen because the phone lines are tied up. I know I was in on the second floor of the district attorney's, where the district attorney's office is. They refused to allow us into the press conference, I and two other reporters. And so we demanded to see the district attorney's staff to make a complaint about this. And they called out detectives to, you know, essentially try to intimidate us. And we weren't intimidated. We continued to insist to be allowed to file a complaint. And they said, you're disrupting business here. No, we're simply trying to make sure that business is pursued as usual, so folks have basic free speech access and not simply the favored media gets chosen to go into these press conferences. And I think the public can do this. I think the public can speak out and say, you know, we're not satisfied with the official story. We want to know what the truth is here.
And, you know, the nice thing about tying up the phone lines is that you can do it from the privacy of your own home. So some folks don't want to get out there on the streets, and some do. But, you know, this is something we can all do that is fairly easy.
Those of us with homes, of course.
Yeah, or telephones. But
indeed.
We all do what we can. So thank you. Yeah, Robert. And I will see you later.
All right, Theodore.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Some good ideas on how to deal with this situation and make sure that the issue doesn't die with a nice rousing demonstration tonight, and then everybody goes home, goes to bed, and mutters to themselves as they walk around the streets for a few days, but nothing happens. I don't know the answer to these questions as to how to keep these issues alive, but I think that Theodora has got a hook on some of this. We've got to bring it to the people in power. Maybe tonight we've got to decide to show up tomorrow down at the district attorney's office, down at the police chief's office, at the mayor's office somewhere, to demand that this cover-up stop and that we get some actual action on the real story, the truth. Well, we're getting close to the end of this show. I'm going to play a brief segment from an interview, as I promised before, from Flowertop, who had his own problems with the police and has claimed he's going to come back and do some demonstrating. Will he do so? I don't know. I certainly hope so. He was one of the people behind the homeless table in 1989 that stayed for 8.5 months at the post office, dramatizing the need of homeless people to be able to sleep at night without harassment. Here's what he had to say to me.
So that's 1997. We're talking to Flower Top, also known as Rainbow Light.
Flower Power. Flower Power is my name.
Flowerhead. Flower Power is a little
bit like
too
flower.
Cliche.
I like Flowerhead. I don't like Flower Top. You already got a Karen.
Flowerhead. Okay. Well, in any case, this is the man who a week ago was arrested for picking too many flowers at City Hall. Tell us more details about what you're up to now.
Well, let me just go through that. The police said I could pick one flower, and I went over there to the police office. They said I can pick one, and one cop said I can pick two, so of course I picked three. But I don't think he was serious, because there's a code in Santa Cruz that says you can't pick any flowers, and that's what the gardener told me when he called the police. Put me in jail for over 5 hours, told my car it cost $144, and my car was legally parked. So when I'm in the process of getting a lawyer,
suing the city of Santa Cruz for false impoundment and impound for towing my car illegally. They didn't even impound the car. They just towed it. Now, why they did this, I don't know, but the cop kept telling the sergeant that, hey, if we tow his car, we'll really get him and he'll leave us alone. But they don't know me. So when Jack Bassett put me in jail for...
Police Chief Jack Bassett.
Yeah, for bumming a cigarette off him. And he took me right to jail. Of course, I yelled, die, yuppie scum out of Santa Cruz, die, yuppie scum at him. And he wouldn't put me in there for illegal speech, but we know that's illegal. So even he knows that we have freedom of speech. But he got me for panhandling, put me in jail. And when I got out, I put up the homeless table, regardless of whatever Robert Norris or anybody else says. I put up the homeless table because I was so pissed in front of the post office, and it stayed there for 6 to 8 months, where hundreds of people were taken to jail, given tickets for sleeping, or as I like to say, in the camping van now. And what I'm up to now...
It was back in 1989, 1990, and we haven't seen too much of you for the last 7 years, but here you are again, and you're talking about a new demonstration in front of City Hall, or at City Hall.
Right. Well, I've been to the Big Mountain. I've been to Big Mountain. I've been to the Nevada test site. I've been working on the trees. I've been working on other issues besides houseless issues. But I'm always a houseless activist, and I've lived outside for the last 10 years. And I love it. Sweep under a tree. Hug a tree. We don't need to cut them down. Hemp paper, hemp fuel, hemp fiber, hemp array. Right now, we are working on, we are turning Santa Cruz City Hall into the first houseless hostel shelter, where we will be giving away over Thanksgiving and for the rest of the year, as long as needed, free blankets and free food 24 hours a day and free camping if you risk the camping ban in Santa Cruz. We're turning City Hall, Santa Cruz City Hall, into a houseless hostel.
Well, isn't City Hall already hostile to the homeless?
Well, hostile, not hostile, Robert. You got me playing on words, but maybe that's a double entendre, and maybe that's very good, because City Hall is very hostile towards the homeless. They have, you know, it's illegal to, if you aren't in one of the few shelter beds and in prison for 14 hours every day, 14 hours of your life to go to these shelters, you are a criminal in Santa Cruz. It's illegal to be houseless in Santa Cruz because there is no legal place to camp in the city limits of Santa Cruz. So if you're here, you're houseless, you're breaking the law. But as my friends at World Entertainment War used to say, Rob Bresky, who writes the astrology column, break the law, break the law. It used to be illegal to dance in Santa Cruz. And his band used to yell and scream on stage, break the law, get out and dance. I just went to jail for picking flowers. I've gone to jail 10 times for camping. I've gone to jail 2 times speaking too long at city council. 1 time for the kitchen quest we did. 1 time for feeding people. 1 time for asking Jack Bassett for a cigarette. And 2 other times I can't remember. Now I've been put in jail in the city of Santa Cruz for picking flowers.
And so let's see if we can understand what your plans are. This is next Tuesday after you have a concert you're working on up in Marin, right?
Right. I do have a concert in Marin. That is this. You're all invited to come this Saturday. If you come from Santa Cruz, it's 2-for-1 with Fantuzzi, Saturday, November 8th, this Saturday, 7 to midnight at the Fairfax Pavilion, downtown Fairfax. The Grateful Dead used to play there, Fantuzzi, Jai Lakshmi. Dance Planet of Santa Cruz is going to be there. Great dance music. We have a guarantee. Have fun or your money back. If you come from Santa Cruz, you can get in 2-for-1. And there's a half-price ad in the Pacific Sun, so it's under $5. You can get in for $2.50 each. Just clip the ad in the Pacific Sun. Come join us. Have the time of your life for your money back.
And of course, Fairfax is up in Marin County, just beyond San Anselmo and right beyond San Rafael.
That is where Fairfax is, and the Fairfax Pavilion is right on the hill in downtown Santa Cruz. But back to picking flowers. So
in downtown Fairfax.
I'm not in downtown Fairfax. Well, let's come back to Santa Cruz and pick flowers. Pick flowers, go to jail. We're also going to be in the Rose Garden. We're turning the Rose Garden into the Freedom Garden. We are planting hemp plants there, and we are planting... planting organic garden there, because we don't need roses, we don't need flowers. We maybe need to smell them, but I don't see people smelling them anyway. Everybody needs to smell the flowers, everybody needs to hug a tree. We don't need to cut them, but we don't need them, we need food. We need food. We need shelter for houseless people. We need the hemp plant for food, fuel, clothing, shelter, paper, medicine, and much, much more. Over 50,000 commercial products can be made out of this incredible plant. So we are turning Santa Cruz City Hall into the first Freedom Garden. We are turning it into a houseless organic gardening, and we are feeding houseless people right out of that garden 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we say at Rainbow Gatherings, 24/7, 365, we're going to be feeding people right out of the first houseless hostel, I can pronounce that word right, food center.
When is this going to start?
It's going to start, we're doing a big concert on the Thanksgiving week, whatever that date is, 25th, 26th, Tuesday, Robert's going to give me the date. On Wednesday, we're going to move in. Wednesday,
the 18th or the 25th?
It's the 25th. The 25th of November, we're going to start with a big concert somewhere. Stick into Robert's show. You'll hear about it, or you can tune into my show on KEST, 1450 AM Personal Growth Radio, San Francisco. And we're at 10:30 tomorrow, 10:30 to 11, and we'll be on in a couple
tomorrow
of weeks.
Tomorrow means 10:30 on Thursday, right?
Thursday, correct. But we're not live here. We're talking to the tape. I forget. Right. Last week, we were live, and it was beautiful because somebody came up to me a day and said, hey, I just heard you on the radio. And so I know you're out there listening. So phone in, support these projects. 423 HUFF, H-U-F-F, pledge of donation to overgrow the government, plant hemp seeds everywhere, overgrow the government, plant fruit trees everywhere, overgrow the government, plant organic gardens everywhere.
So you intend to announce this project at your upcoming concerts. And that brief, and it went on for some time thereafter, but that's, I think, all we need to know at the moment. That brief announcement is a potential project of another demonstration at City Hall, if in fact it materializes. We'll have to see if that actually is going to be happening. I will keep you advised. In the week of Thanksgiving, we keep our eyes on it. There actually are demonstrations going on around the state as I speak in Santa Monica. Homes Not Jails and Food Not Bombs activists are occupying a motel demanding decent housing for poor people in Santa Monica. More about that on Sunday, because my time is almost up. We've got Uncle Dennis coming down the pike with his usual well-selected mixture of news, views, and music, which I wish I had the organization to put together the way he does. He's got good stuff from Daryl Cherney, and I don't know quite what he's got planned tonight, but I encourage you to stay for that show if you're sticking by your radio. If you're not, come on down to the demonstration at 8:30, the memorial for Happy John. Downtown, in downtown Santa Cruz at Soquel and Front Streets, and I'll be seeing you there. I'm going to come on down myself. Maybe we can figure out what to do next to make sure that, well, I'd like to say let's make sure that the police killings stop, let's see the repression against the poor stop, let's see the cover-ups from the top stop, and let's see those of us who need to reclaim power do just that. We're going to go out on the music of the San Francisco Mime Troupe. I'll be returning with Bathrobe Spears Broadsides on Sunday at 11 o'clock for a longer version, 2.5 hours. If you have any response to this show, you, of course, can call Uncle Dennis and fill up his lines here at 423-5361. But better would be to call me and leave a message on my HUFF line. HUFF is an acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, civil rights organization for the poor that I work with. Give a call to 423-HUFF. If you have any reaction, anything you've heard, anything you want put on the air, because this is Free Radio Santa Cruz. You can put your own messages on the air. 427-4523 is Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we will air a two-minute message. Now, however, I've got my two-minute warning, and I'm heading out. Say goodbye to me, or say hello to me if you want to come down at 8:30 at Front and Soquel. We can talk some more about the same issues we've been talking about on the radio and new issues. Thanks again. This has been Bathrobe Spears Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor.
Gone, my spirit too. The pact I've made, I've kept in full. No power. Santa Cruz. My name is Uncle Dennis, and it's time for Earth First Radio.